time wasn't answering calls anymore. The bridge builder had opened the way, and no great gods had come streaming through. It was astounding, Bobby thought, how quickly humanity could go from what unimaginable intelligence fashioned these soul-wrenching wonders to, well, since they're not here, can I have their stuff? Excuse me, a man's phlegmy voice said. You wouldn't have a little spare change for a veteran, would you? She looked away from the screens. The man was thin, gray-faced. His body had the hallmarks of a childhood in low G, long body, large head. He licked his lips and leaned forward. Veteran, are you? She said. Where'd you serve? Ganymede, the man said, nodding and looking off with an attempt at nobility. I was there when it all came down. When I got back here, government dropped me on my ass. I'm just trying to save up enough to book passage to Ceres. I've got family there. Bobby felt a bubble of rage in her breast, but she tried to keep her voice and expression calm. You try Veterans Outreach? Maybe they could help you. I just need something to eat, he said, his voice turning nasty. Bobby looked up and down the car. Usually there would be a few people in the cars at this time. The neighborhoods under the Aurora Sinus were all connected by evacuated tube, part of the great Martian terraforming project that had begun before Bobby was born and would go on long after she was dead. Just now, there was no one. She considered what she would look like to the beggar. She was a big woman, tall as well as broad, but she was sitting down, and the sweater she'd chosen was a little baggy. He might have been under the misapprehension that her bulk was fat. It wasn't. What company did you serve with? She asked. He blinked. She knew she was supposed to be a little scared of him, and he was uneasy because she wasn't. Company? What company did you serve with? He licked his lips again. I don't want to, because it's a funny thing, she said. I could have sworn I knew pretty much everyone who was on Ganymede when the fighting started. You know, you go through something like that and you remember, because you see a lot of your friends die. What was your rank? I was gunnery sergeant. The gray face had gone closed and white. The man's mouth pinched. He pushed his hands deeper into his pockets and mumbled something. And now, Bobby went on, I work 30 hours a week with Veterans Outreach, and I'm just fucking sure we could give a fine, upstanding veteran like you a break. He turned, and her hand went out to his elbow faster than he could pull away. His face twisted with fear and pain. She drew him close. When she spoke, her voice was careful, each word clear and sharp. Find another story. Yes, ma'am, the beggar said. I will. I'll do that. The car shifted, decelerating into the first breach candy station. She let him go and stood up. His eyes went a little wider when she did. Her genetic line went back to Samoa, and she sometimes had that effect on people who weren't expecting her. Sometimes she felt a little bad about it. Not now. Her brother lived in a nice middle-class hole in Breach Candy, not far from the lower university. She'd lived with him for a time after she got back home to Mars, and she was still putting the pieces of her life back together. It was a longer process than she'd expected. And part of the aftermath was that she felt like she owed her brother something. Family dinner nights was part of that. The halls of Breach Candy were sparse. The advertisements on the walls flickered as she came near, face recognition tracking her and offering up the products and services they thought she might want. Dating services, gym memberships, takeout shawarma, the new Mbeki Soon film, psychological counseling. Bobby tried not to take it personally. Still, she wished there were more people around, a few more faces to add variety to the mix. To let her tell herself the ads were probably meant for someone walking nearby, not for her.